Defense Secretary Ash Carter has until the end of the year to make a decision on which combat positions will be open to women and which will be closed. The Army, Navy, and Air Force are going to open all positions. They're not asking for any waivers. The Marines are. They want to bar women from infantry and recon jobs. All of this follows the graduation of the first two women from the Army's Ranger School and the study released by the Marines that showed that mixed gender units did not perform as well as all male units. Now, you might remember we had a female veteran on who said there's other studies that discount that. She very much wants women in combat positions. We're also going to speak in the coming days with someone who's against that. But our next guest has been of both minds. Sebastian Bay served 6 years in the Marine Corps Infantry, including in Iraq in 2009. And he wrote about women in combat on the Foreign Policy website. He's with us from Washington. Sebastian Bay, welcome.
I'm happy to be here.
Take us back to the beginning of this notion of women in your unit. You describe what happened when an officer came and told your platoon leader two women were going to be coming. That platoon sergeant, as soon as the officer left, turned around and said what to you?
He essentially told us not to interact with them, not to talk with them, not to do anything with them. We all could read between the lines, and these women were coming for a specific purpose, and that purpose was to search the Iraqi women that had to go through our checkpoints because by Iraqi tradition and social norms, we weren't allowed to do it.
Well, and he was sending you the message that's all they would do, and they wouldn't interact with you in any other way. What do you think was going on there? Was he angry about the fact that they were coming? Was he genuinely concerned about something?
Honestly, I think it was a little bit of both. He was concerned in the sense that women being involved in combat roles was, at the time, still very new. And another part is that on an individual level, you as a young staff sergeant or a sergeant or any kind of Marine on the front lines, you're worried about your own career as well. And even the whisper of sexual misconduct or sexual harassment can end a young man's career, as it should if it's true.
So going forward, they did join the platoon, these two women. You call them searchers. They were also, you say, affectionately called lionesses because they were ferociously running back and forth in the checkpoints and searching these women. But what happened in downtime?
We kept to ourselves, you know what I mean? I remember distinctly one time a couple of us were in the main hall waiting for our next shift to go on patrol, and one of the lionesses enters the room. And she just wants to hear and talk with us and socialize. She sits down. Literally, everyone at the table just vanishes. You know what I mean? And it's not because we hated them. It was just because we're afraid for ourselves and what can be misconstrued.
Well, but you also write that this was also some sort of amorphous, high-principled idea that was an attack on a very real thing for you, a precious band of brothers that was a tangible thing.
Absolutely. Ask any veteran, they say, why do you fight and why do you fight so hard? It's because of the guy next to you. I mean, it is about that brotherhood, about the same guys you went through training with and now are going through war with. And that was your only reality. Any combat leader is like, I want to get my boys home, right, in one piece. Right, that's my goal. And entering this new change, these women was seen, and it's probably still in operational terms, as a threat to it. And that's why so many naysayers to female integration say, hey, this is about mission effectiveness. You know what I mean? How will this affect the unit cohesion? And that's just political talk for like, hey, we're worried about what's going to change as the units are now.
In other words, that's a very real, tangible, we've got to all survive this, as opposed to what you perceived they're coming in as, which is some sort of notion of fairness or feminism, which is some abstract, as opposed to something with a face. But these two women did have a face. So tell us about your thinking as it changed, which it did, after you came home.
After I came home and I separated from the Marine Corps and I went to college and pursued my master's, I met female veterans who had, despite the ban on combat roles, very combat-oriented experiences in both Afghanistan and Iraq. And my experiences changed because as I personally was like, hey, I'm struggling with my own experiences in Iraq and these women are doing the same. How can I undermine or undervalue their own experiences, their own service, right, when we're all out there fighting the same fight? I couldn't fix that contradiction in my mind of seeing them as unworthy of being part of our units and in the infantry particularly, while at the same time recognizing they went through the same thing I did. Yeah. So in the end, I had to make some kind of change of mind. I was like, hey, if they're fighting for, you know, life and liberty, they should deserve the choice of what they do with that life and what they do with that liberty, both in and out of uniform.
I mean, you're all taking the same risks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm wondering, too, if in humanizing them, this was no longer an abstract. This was two women. Did they in some way become a part of the Precious Band?
Honestly, to tell you the truth, I don't even remember the names of the lionesses I served with. And that's a reflection of how far the social partition was between us. And despite living on a small foreign operating base in the middle of Ramadi with only 50 so Marines on it, yet these women might as well have lived on a different planet to us. I sort of regret not being able to interact with them more and integrate them more when we were in Iraq.
Well, not only interacting with them, but you regret, you write, setting them up to fail.
Absolutely. I think the military, and particularly the Marine Corps, has set up women to fail in a lot of ways, as reflected by the recent study about female integration units.
Which found that units that were integrated did not work well together. This is the Marine Report, and I'm sure you're thinking, how could they if every time a woman came in a room, the whole table stood up and left, which was your experience. But, Sebastian, what do you say to people who say, I would love a female troop as much as I'd love a male, but I have to draw the line at being out on a patrol and needing her at 110 pounds to carry me at 250 if I'm injured. You know, that it comes down to a sheer non-negotiable issue of strength. It's not about sexism or not being able to include women, but there's a line that needs to be drawn.
I definitely understand that. And probably 5-4 years ago, I would have made the same argument. But I have two gripes with that sort of argument now. One is that even within my own squad, one of my team leaders, he was maybe 110 soaking wet at like 5'1". He carried the same pack we did. He did everything else we did. And your strengths are as a unit. You don't rely on one person to do anything. Yeah. So I say, hey, if one person can't carry it, they'll have two or three. That's the whole point of being a unit, fighting as a unit. And also the second part of that, these measurements and metrics of whether women are suited for the infantry are so antiquated. Like in the last Marine Corps study, it says, you know, they were tested on shooting, physical fitness, and did all these like classical live fire ranges, which are designed for conventional warfare. But the thing is that you're not asking modern troops to do these kind of exercises. You're trying to do counterinsurgency, meet with people, develop relationships, and use force as a last resort. And yeah, there'll be times when you go in and weapons raised, but other times, and a lot of times in my own experience in Ramadi, you would have to take a softer approach, right? Mm-hmm. And this is reflective of the fact that the military is not training the Marines, sailors, or soldiers to do the job they're asking to do in theater.
What's been the response?
To the article, has been split. And what I was hoping to do with this article was to be like, hey, I see both sides, right? And I do end up eventually on the side of female integration, right? But the point is that there needs to be some honest dialogue about the whole conversation instead of a zero-sum sort of mentality of like, you're completely wrong and we're completely right.
That's Sebastian Bay. He served 6 years in the Marine Corps infantry, including a deployment in Iraq in 2009, wrote about how he was against women initially, the ones in his unit, and now after a lot of thought, feels he undermined them and would gladly work with them again. I'm going to ask you one last thing, Sebastian.
Yes.
I know you're out of uniform now, but you're headed back to Iraq for what?
I'm heading back to Iraq with a medical charity actually called Global Surgical and Medical Support Group. And we're heading back to northern Kurdistan near Erbil to visit some refugee camps.
Boy, I tell you, many people who've served in Iraq, the last place they want to go back to that they don't have to go to, and you don't, you're choosing this, is Iraq. Why are you going?
I would be lying to you if I didn't say that a part of me has always been in Iraq and always will be in Iraq. And in its own way, I'm tracing my own story when I go back to Iraq.
Sebastian, thank you.
I was happy to do it.